It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, how you doing? It's time for Swap Shop. All right, this is Glenn Coble again. We just finished my first 2 hours, which is called, the show is called On the Air. But now we're going to switch over to Swap Shop. And you know about Swap Shop. If you don't, oh, by the way, Tim showed up and he did get his tickets to the fair. Really glad to meet you, Tim. I hope you have a great time at the fair. Sounds like he's going to be a very favorite uncle as he's going to spread the ticket wealth around here. All right. Anyway, with Swap Shop, it's kind of a different thing. We've been struggling to get out of the COVID doldrums, but more and more, we're getting more and more people contacting us about Swap Shop. Now, the way it works, you call into the radio station, you give what you want to get or sell. Let's say you want to sell a toaster oven, and you say, I'm going to sell my toaster oven. All I want is $10 for it, and then you give your phone number, and we will put that out in the audience, and somebody's going to call you up and say, hey, I would like to come pick that up, and I'll give you your money for it. So if you got something to sell, give us a call at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, and we'll be glad to put it on the air. Now, we do have a couple of things that have been sent in here that we have been advertising for people. On July, Saturday and Sunday, July 3rd and 4th, the Tiffin Flea Market is going to be going on up at the Seneca County Fairgrounds, it goes on Saturday. It'll be from 9 to 4. On Sunday, it'll be from 9 to 3, and that's this Saturday and Sunday. It's a free admission, so you can't go wrong with that. The flea market is at the Seneca County Fairgrounds, so head up on that way. We also have free fresh food. That's hard to say, the alliteration there. Free fresh food distributions from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the first Friday of the month, which is... it's already come and gone, hasn't it? But July 2nd. Also, they're going to have it, and today is, what is today? Today is July, my phone isn't working. Okay, this is the first, so tomorrow, July 2nd, they're going to have the free fresh food distribution, and that's drive through at all occasions. The food pantries, it says it's 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo. So that's a place you can go on the July 2nd. Well, let's see what else we have here for on the 6th, Creaking for Critters at the Paradise Nature Preserve. At 3 p.m., Creaking for Critters. So I suppose you're going to go see if you can find some polywogs, right? That sounds like fun to me. That's put on by the Marion County Park District, Creaking for Critters at Paradise Nature Preserve at 3 p.m. on the 6th, okay? They always have some good stuff for kids out there at the Tall Grass Trail and Paradise Park and stuff like that. So, all right, you're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're on Swap Shop. And if you have anything to sell, any of your tchotchkes that you want to get rid of, give us a call, and we'll put it on the air, and maybe we can get rid of it. If you're having a garage sale or a yard sale or a basement sale, give us a call, and we'll advertise that for you so that people can stop by. I think there might be a chance to get in. I don't think the rain is considered going. I think it's going to come and go. So I'm hoping you're having. I think the weekend you have a better chance than, let's say, today or tomorrow. But anyway, I hope you have a great weekend. It's going to be a 4th of July time, right? 4th of July. It's hard to imagine it's already back here again. Congress made Independence Day, the 4th of July, an official unpaid holiday for federal employees in 1870. Now, note that it was unpaid at that point. But in 1938, Congress changed Independence Day to a paid federal holiday. They apparently decided they needed to get some money out into the hands of the people. That was right after where everybody didn't have any money. I really need help. All right, let's go to the phone and see what we have going on. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Glenn.
Yes.
I got a little dilemma.
Okay.
I got tickets from Scott to go to the fair.
Yeah.
And we just had something come up that we're not going to be able to make it.
Oh, no.
These tickets that somebody could use, and we were getting ready to go, and then we just got word about something, so we're not going to be able to go. And if anybody wants them, you know, they can call my number
okay.
And let me know and
yeah.
Try to work something out to get it to them.
And that, I think those tickets are good for any of the days, aren't they?
Right, they go to the, to the weekend.
Okay, so what are the, and this is for the fair. And what phone number can they call and get those
That's
tickets?
740-361-08-51.
Let me read this back to you. You have tickets for the fair that you won from us, but you can't go now, and it's totally understandable. If somebody's interested in getting those tickets, I assume there's two.
Right,
too. If they're interested in those tickets, give you a call at 740-361-0851. Did I get that right?
That's right.
All right, great. We'll try and get those taken care of for you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great opportunity because going to the fair is great fun. It really is. I mean, sure, you're going to get dusty. You're going to get hot. You're going to get fat. I've already done that. But it's a great place to go and see your friends and see the critters. There's lots of critters out there. I love going and seeing the critters. And if it's not too hot, it's nice for the critters. Let's hope that it doesn't get so hot that it's, you know, the critters are need lots of water and air conditioning. But anyway, go head on out that way. And if you don't have tickets, this gentleman will be glad to give you tickets at 740-361-0851. They won those tickets, and they don't want them to go to waste. So give them a call. All right? Very good. All right. You're listening to Swap Shop. My name's Glenn Coble. The show is Swap Shop, and it's on 107.1 here on FM. And you can give us a call and sell some of your stuff or give it away, as this last person is doing, at 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. And we'll be glad to get this stuff out and tell people about what you got to sell. All right? All right. Let me go back here. I was going to give you some interesting tidbits of information. Now, we told you when the Independence Day was unpaid holiday. That was in 1870, but it became paid in 1938. All right. Let's see here. Only John Hancock actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. All the others signed later. So there was just that giant John Hancock signature. And we heard this morning, I think Fred Malone told us, he signed it that big so that the king of England could see that he signed it. Apparently the king was had short sightedness or something. Isn't that interesting, though? John Hancock was basically saying, there it is, Mr. Regal King, I signed it. Pretty cool idea. It is a huge signature and very, very readable. Now, I have a huge signature, but you can't read mine. My grandfather was a doctor, and you know, lots of doctors have really huge signatures or really flourishing signatures. And so I liked my grandfather's signature, so I thought I'd make mine look like that. It doesn't look anything like that. Mine just looks like a third grader is trying to sign his name. But anyway, my signature is pretty big. I'm going to write it to myself and see if I... Yeah, it's semi-readable. I really, if you look at my signature, you think my name is G-L-D, C-O-B-L. C-O-B-L. Anyway, my signature is easier to read than my handwriting, unfortunately. I can read my handwriting, but very few other people can. How many people do you think signed the Declaration of Independence? That's kind of interesting. Now, there were 13 colonies, but there were a certain number of people that actually signed the Declaration of Independence. There were 56 men. And remember, they were men. That wasn't a typo. They were only men. Back then, men were the only thing that counted, I guess. I never quite understood that. If they had wives, I can't imagine that they... Well, I know my wife knows a lot more than I do. But the 56 men from 13 colonies signed the Declaration of Independence eventually. Not the first day, because it says right here, John Hancock was the only person to sign it on the 4th of July. And we understand that it was actually, I think I heard on Scott's show, that it was actually, we actually declared our independence on July 2nd as opposed to July 4th. But the first signature got on that paper on the 4th, and so therefore we now call it that as our birth date, even though they declared their independence on the 2nd of July. Sounds like something I would have done with my mother. You know, I declare it early, see how the weather's blowing. If she doesn't get too mad, then 2 days later, I really declare it. Oh, me. All right. The average age of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. This is kind of interesting because it's really considered quite young anymore for many of our politicians to be only 45. That was the age of the average age of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. It was 45 years old. The youngest, by the way, was Thomas Lynch, Jr., and he was only 27 years old, and he was from South Carolina. The oldest was Benjamin Franklin, who was 70 at the time, and he was from Pennsylvania. Thomas Jefferson was 33. Kind of interesting, huh? All right, let's go to the phone and see what we've got going on here. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, it's interesting. Back in the day, people really took pride in how their handwriting was.
Yeah, they did. I know my father and my grandfather really took great pride in their handwriting. Yeah,
yeah, my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful handwriting.
Yeah, yeah. And you can read it.
Yeah, you can read it. And you know, people took pride in it. Well, a lot of people wrote back in more, too.
Right. Yeah, now it's all emails and, you know.
Typing on a computer.
Yeah, it's on the computer. Well, do you take pride in your writing?
Yeah, I used to have real good handwriting, uh-huh. But it hurts me sometimes when I'm holding a pen anymore.
Yeah, I've got the same problem. I have a little arthritis in my hand, and
yeah.
it hurts to write.
But I still have pretty good handwriting.
I do not.
I have better handwriting than any of my siblings.
Oh, that's cool. All right, we give you an A for handwriting.
Yeah. But I just wanted to comment about that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I wonder why it was so important to our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to have good writing.
Well, it don't seem important anymore. In a lot of schools, I don't even know if they teach cursive anymore.
Yeah, I've heard some schools don't teach cursive. That
and
just
I think
seems
that's
crazy.
A shame.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call, and I absolutely agree with you. We should have some pride in our handwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, I agree with our caller. It's something that we should be proud of. You're taking pride that people know who you are. And that's a great way to have a very healthy life, is to be proud of who you are. I really firmly believe that. I know that's nothing for Swap Shop, but I really think that the more confidence that you can give your kids, or the more confidence you have yourself, the better your life's going to be. Excuse me, I had to clear the throat, and I didn't want you to hear that, so I cut off my microphone. Well, sort of. Okay. One out of eight signers of the Declaration of Independence were educated at Harvard. A total of eight people. They were educated at Harvard. Now, my wife and I, my father went to Harvard. That wasn't where he got his degree from, but he took several courses at Harvard. Well, actually, he was enrolled in Harvard while he was also enrolled in the Boston University. My wife and I find it very interesting to find, we read through all these politicians that we have, and how many politicians are Ivy Leaguers. And many of them, and I mean many of them, are from Harvard. And we wonder if it's something where the parents think that if you have a Harvard degree, you're smarter, so that they find ways to tilt the pressure toward getting you into Harvard. You know, they donate to, and I know there are some that have actually donated to Harvard, and then expect to have their children be accepted at Harvard. Now, I'm not saying Harvard does that. I have no idea. I don't know any development people at Harvard, so I have no way of finding out if that's true. But my guess are there have been some people, at least throughout history, that have paid their way into Harvard. Now, I know my father didn't. Grandpa and Grandma. Grandpa was a rather well-to-do doctor in Indianapolis, but I don't think that would have happened. I don't think Grandpa would have paid to have Dad, especially since Dad didn't—he was actually enrolled in Boston University and also in Harvard. Not in Harvard and also in Boston University. His primary school while he was out there was Boston University. So, no, he did not run the Boston Marathon. If you'd ever see my father, he looks a lot like me. And I have never run the Boston Marathon. Both of us are a little on the heavy side. All right. I'm not fat. I'm just way more fat than I want to be. All right. The only two signers of the Declaration of Independence who later served as presidents of the United States, who do you think? There were two of them. They're very famous names. But they were the only two signers of the Declaration of Independence. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Kind of interesting. You know, Thomas Jefferson wrote his own version of the Bible. It's called the Jefferson Bible. And it's I've read parts of it. It's quite interesting. It's a little bit easier for guys like me who really aren't into religion. A little easier for those of us to read. It's less hellfire and damnation and more thoughtful. All right. The stars on the original American flag were in what shape? Were they in the shape of a star? Were they in the shape of a box? Were they in the shape of I don't know. What shape were they in? The stars in the original American flag. All right. You'll remember this flag, I know. They were in a circle. And I'm going to make sure. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Absolutely. There were 13 stars in a circle. And as you know, there are also 13 stripes. And I think there are 7 red stripes and 6 white stripes. I think that's the way it is. All right. Excuse me, I have to keep shutting my mic off because for some reason or other, all of a sudden I'm getting verklempt. You know, like I did open the door at the break and maybe I let in a lot of you know, bad stuff. I didn't notice any like cottonwood floating in the air, but sometimes you don't see the stuff that's floating in the air, and I got caught in my throat. The stars on the original flag were in a circle, so all the colonies would appear equal. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And I can see the group of men sitting around arguing about, let's put it in a square. No, then the ones at the top will be considered more important. But no, the ones in a circle, they're all equidistant from the center. So apparently that's the reason. All right. Hey, if you're interested in getting some of your tchotchkes sold on the air, now, we're having a little rough day today, not too many people calling in, but that's okay. We will take them all at 740-383-9944, or we'll have a good time talking about the 4th of July. Also, we do have a gentleman that has some 4th called in. He had won a couple of 4th of July or a county fair tickets from us and just found out that they can't go. They're going to be out of town. So if you're interested in those tickets, he'd be glad to give them to you. Call 740-361-0851. For those free tickets to the fair, call 740-361-0851. And if you have a yard sale or something like that or something you'd like to sell, give us a call, 740-383-9944. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hey, it's Sarah.
Okay.
Even even though I wasn't able to get a mower through Swap Shop, I thought you would be happy for me that I did end up getting one. It was on Facebook Marketplace, and I don't get on there, but I had friends looking for me for one, and I had to travel a little bit. I had to go to Delaware, Ohio to pick it up.
Oh, that's
but
not bad.
It's super duper nice.
Great.
You can tell these people had money, and it mulches. Or you can just hook the bag on and collect the clippings, and I got it for $40.
Oh, my. That's perfect.
So I thought you'd be happy for me.
I am happy for you, Tara. Very good. Now I know your name is Tara.
I just wanted to brighten your day with that little nugget of
you
knowledge.
You did. And I'm happy for you. And have a wonderful 4th of July. And eat a hot dog so Scott will be right. Scott.
I will eat a couple hot dogs.
Okay. I'm afraid I'll eat more than
that. It's a good thing we don't know what's in those things.
Yeah, it is. My father went to the stock market, wherever they kept all the cows and stuff like that, down in Chicago when he was a young man, and he never ate hot dogs after that.
Well, that tells you something.
Yeah, it does.
All right, well, have a good show, Dad.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dad said after seeing them grind up what they ground up and put into hot dogs, he never ate another hot dog. Well, I'm happy for Tara. She got the lawnmower that she was looking for. I think we advertised it twice on Swap Shop. Unfortunately, we didn't do our job. We didn't get anybody to call her. But make sure that if you have something you hear that's on the air that you want to sell to somebody, if they're asking for like a lawnmower, that was one you had sold, and easily you could have sold her that. But I'm glad she got one that works and one that she's happy with, and thanks for calling in and letting us know. All right, and don't forget those free fare tickets. Call 740-361-0851. All right, let's see if we got another question here that might be of interest. The first Independence Day celebration took place in Philadelphia, logical, right, on July 8th, 1776. And I heard some people think that was when we announced our independence, but it was not. July 2nd was the day that we announced our independence. Nearly a week later, we had a party. This was also the day that the Declaration of Independence was first read in public after people were summoned by the ringing of the Liberty Bell. Now, I wonder if it was cracked at that time. It is now, and I think it's been cracked most of its life. So maybe they cracked it while they summoned the people. I don't know. The White House held its first 4th of July party in 1801. Seems a little late. Maybe they were still working on the White House. I don't know. Wasn't it 1812 when it was burned? The White House held its first 4th of July party in 1801. Oh, here's a story. Fred Malone, who called earlier today, has reminded me of this story. President John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe all died. This is not the story that I'm going to tell you. The story that Fred talked about later. Apparently, they put the picture in the wrong place. Anyway, this is kind of an interesting story. President John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe all died on the 4th of July. Adam and Jefferson both signed the Declaration, and they died on the same day within hours of each other in 1826. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Okay. Here's the question I thought I was going to be reading to you. This is the one that Fred Malone has reminded me of. Ben Franklin proposed the turkey as the national Redbird, but was overruled by John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who recommended the Bald Eagle. Now, I know that there's a good story behind that, and I'm going to ask Fred to explain that story to us maybe one of these times when he comes on my show. Fred will be on every third Thursday at 10:15 on my show on the air, and we have a good time. He talks about everything. What did he say we were going to talk about? I didn't write it down, so I should have written it down. What we were going to talk about this coming, not this coming Thursday. Anyway, enough is enough. In 1776, there were 2.5 million people living in the new nation. The population today is around 316 million people. Wow. We kind of grew. Hey, if you're looking for tickets to the county fair, give this gentleman a call. He's got a couple that he won from us, but the family has decided they can't make it, so he's going to give them away. 740-361-0851. 740-361-0851. What are you going to do on 4th of July? You going to go out and have hot dogs on the grill? That's what most people are going to do. My grill is kind of gets overheated and then parts of it rust apart, and my grill is starting to fade quickly. I'm still able to use it. The grill itself still will hold the hot dogs up, but the ashes fall through because there's a hole in the bottom. But that's probably what my wife and I will do on the 4th of July. We might have steaks outside. I have to go to the grocery today. My grocery day is usually Wednesday after the show. My Wednesday show is over, A Progressive Life. After that's over, I usually head out and go to the grocery store and buy stuff for our family and also for my sister-in-law. And I'm usually pretty exhausted when I'm done with that. I come home, fix my lunch at about 2:15, and then quickly hit the couch. I do take a snooze after that. All right. 59 places in the U.S. contain the word liberty in the name. Pennsylvania has 11. That's interesting. Has more of these places than any other state. Of the 59 places nationally containing liberty in their name, 4 are counties: Liberty County in Georgia, Liberty County in Florida, Liberty County in, where is this? Montana, and Liberty County in Texas. But there are 59 places throughout the United States that have liberty in their name. Matter of fact, I think there is a town, I think, in Ohio called Liberty. Anyway, kind of interesting. Liberty is a very popular word right now. People screaming liberty with anger in their voice for some reason or other. You'd think that liberty would be a good thing. Well, liberty is a good thing, but you have responsibilities as well. The most common patriotic sounding word used within place names is union. I'm going to read that again because that's a little cumbersome. The most common patriotic sounding word used within place names is union. We have one here in this area. Union Township. All right, we have a phone call. Let me go to the phone and see what we've got here. Hang on, if I can find the right buttons. Hi, you're on the air.
Glenn.
Yes.
Tickets are gone.
Tickets are gone. I'll quit saying it then. Very good. So it must have worked for you. Thank you.
Let you know.
Have a great 4th of July. Thanks
you
for your,
too.
Thanks for your gifts.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, those tickets are gone. Don't call anymore. They went pretty quick. Yeah, it's a great thing to get rid of, I mean, not to get rid of them, but to have tickets to the county fair, because you'll enjoy it. You really will. Now, I've been to county fairs that I absolutely hated. You know, when it was 105 in the shade, I've been to a few fairs like that. But most of the fairs I've gone to, I've really enjoyed. I love walking around the barns and looking at the horsies. I love horsies. And the goats always seem to like me. I don't know why they do, but they probably like everybody. I'm not a big fan of the ducks because they just stand around and quack and act kind of like they're smarter than you are. But I really do. I used to go, I worked at the credit union here in town, and I used to shop for things, for critters, animals, for the credit union, so that, you know, we kind of helped our credit union family out by bidding on the kids' stuff that used the credit union. I loved that. The Sale of Champions on the morning of the sale, when they have all those kids there. I'll tell you what, if you want to see some sharp-looking kids, those kids look like they know what they're doing. They are dressed to the, you know, most of them are in blue jeans and maybe a white shirt or something like that. But they all look fantastic, and they all act like they're intelligent, kind young men and women. And I'm really proud of them when I get to see them. All right. Well, the tickets are gone, so you can't call in and get those tickets. So I hope you didn't write that number down, and now you're going to call them because it's too late. All right. Anyway, we said the most common patriotic-sounding word used within place names is Union, with 136. Pennsylvania, again, has 33 of those places. Other words most commonly used in the place names are Washington, Franklin, Jackson, and Lincoln. Of course they are. How many towns are named Washington or Franklin or Lincoln or Jackson, for that matter, throughout the United States? An awful lot. And, you know, a lot of the townships are named like that. And I bet this doesn't even include the townships because there are, well, anyway, we have a Union Township, and kind of interesting that people would use those names. They're patriotic-sounding names, and people are patriotic and proud of that. All right. Oh, my goodness, it's already 12:51, so we're going to have to get out of here pretty soon. We'll give you a few more minutes. If you have anything, a garage sale you're trying to advertise, or if you have something you're trying to sell, give us a call, 740-383-9944. Fireworks are part of the tradition of celebrating the national holiday. The U.S. imported $227.3 million worth of fireworks from China in 2012. I guess they don't know the more current dates. U.S. exports of fireworks, by comparison, came to just $11.7 million in 2012. So we're bringing in a lot from China and not getting rid of too many. With Israel purchased more than any other country from us, with 2.5 million in fireworks. I always find it quite interesting. Depending on the state you're in, there are states that fireworks are legal. There are states where it's legal to sell fireworks, but you're not allowed to fire them off in your state. There are states where it's absolutely illegal to have fireworks. Most of those states don't pay any attention on the 4th of July, including, it's kind of interesting. I go to my wife and I go get our popcorn. We used to take our puppy, but we don't do that anymore because our puppy was afraid of fireworks, so we'd hold her real tightly, and she seemed to be okay then. But we'd take our popcorn and go to the fireworks. And there were more fireworks, usually, the place that we go, there were more fireworks being fired off around us, and many of them were very sophisticated fireworks. They're going off around us than we saw in the air over the fairgrounds. And I often wondered, do the city police don't care about that? I mean, it is against the law, isn't it? But maybe not. Maybe on that day it's not. I don't know. Maybe I'll look that up. I don't know. But we always had a good time. I do remember one time my brother and I set off fireworks up at our lake, and our next door neighbors had a boathouse that had a canvas roof over it. And we set off one of our fireworks, actually flew over there, started their canvas roof on fire. That was not a good day for us or our neighbors or my father. Oh, well. All right. In 2012, the vast majority of imported U.S. flags were made in China. Can you? Does that seem ironic to you? It does to me. Also, apparently, the vast majority of the president's hats were made in China. You know, the "Make America Proud" or "Make America Great Again." Those flags, most of those, at least initially, were made in China. We do an awful lot in China. It's because they're cheaper. That's all it comes down to. It's cheaper. All right, we're down to 5 minutes left on Swap Shop. Now, if you have anything you want to sell, 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Don't call us about the tickets. We already got rid of those. Barbecue is also big on Independence Day. Of course, we all know that. Scott already told us that the most number of things eaten were hot dogs, and that's what it says right here. 150 million hot dogs. Oh, by the way, 700 million pounds of chicken are consumed on this day. Wow! 700 million pounds of chicken. Holy cow, I'm starting to feel a little sad for my chicken friends. My son-in-law and daughter have, I think, 5 chickens. But they have them just for their eggs. So I don't feel sorry for them. Every 4th of July, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is tapped, not actually rung, 13 times in honor of the original 13 colonies. Well, you know, it's got that big crack in it, so they don't want to smack it hard. They just tap it. It's not actually rung. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Then they give me a picture of the Yankee Doodle song. You know, yeah, I'm a Yankee Doodle dandy. That sort of thing. I don't know why they put that there, but they did. Oh, maybe it's going to tell me. Traditions place the origins of Yankee Doodle as a pre-revolutionary war song, originally sung by British military officers to mock the disheveled, disorganized colonial Yankees with whom they served in the French and Indian War. It is believed that the tune comes from the nursery rhyme Lucy Locket. One version of Yankee Doodle of the lyrics is generally attributed to Dr. Richard Shuckburr, a British Army surgeon. According to one story, Shuckburr wrote the song after seeing the appearance of colonial troops under the colonial Thomas Fitch the Fifth, the son of Connecticut Governor Thomas V, or Thomas Fitch the Fourth, I guess. Interesting. So it was taken from a kid's song, a nursery rhyme, Lucy Locket. All right. Now you know something that you absolutely had no need to know. I hope you aren't getting too bored. We only have one more of these, and we only have two more minutes, so I will give this to you, and then we'll wish you a happy 4th of July, and I'll get ready to go do my grocery shopping. The tune of the national anthem was originally used by an English drinking song called To Anacreon in Heaven. Anacreon? A-N-A-C-R-E-O-N. Anacreon in Heaven. That was an English drinking song. The words have nothing to do with the consumption of alcohol, but the melody that Francis Scott Key had in mind when he wrote the words did originate decades early as the melody for a song praise of wine. Now, he thought up the national anthem with that, you know, this kind of that sound in his head. I'm sure he wasn't dreaming of wine. Of course not. All right, well, it's been a good day talking to you. I hope you got something out of this. We really aimed it at family. We aimed it at the 4th of July, and I hope you have an absolutely wonderful 4th of July. Please, if you're going to fire off some illegal fireworks, which a lot of people certainly do in this town, be very careful and don't do it around kids. And if you're going to let your kids do it, think twice. It's not a good idea. Okay? Well, you've been listening to Glenn Coble, and here we're on Swap Shop. I hope you have a great day and a great 4th of July. And join us again next week. I hope you'll be here. Thanks a lot for listening. WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio